The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is Genesis chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 26 through 31. You can turn to page number 1 in a Bible from the back of the pew if you'd like to follow along. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. This is God's word.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors. Like you, I was encouraged to know that it's better to eat Twinkies with good friends than broccoli alone. In all fairness, it's better to do anything than eat broccoli, but that's just a little side note. We are landing the plane on our series that we have called Cultural Questions. We've been trying to respond to a number of kinds of questions that get asked about the Christian faith and objections and doubts that are raised. And we've just tried to kind of set a trajectory of how we might think about those questions. In the last couple weeks, last week and this week, trying to round the corner to think a little more positively, like what is good news about the Christian story? And this week, what we're going to focus on is this deep, built-in, kind of hardwired longing that we all have for meaning. All of us find ourselves looking for meaning in this life. If you're anything like me, there have been moments in your life where you found yourself a bit disillusioned, like wondering, does anything that I'm doing actually make a difference? Does it matter? Does anything that I'm up to really count for much of anything in my life or in this world? Maybe you're a parent and you look at all the things you cleaned up only to see a wake of disaster behind you because little ones leave everything undone. Maybe you get to the end of the day and you're like, "I don't know that I have anything to show for what I've done today. I've been extremely busy. I've nonstop all day long, but I don't know if anything that I did mattered." Maybe at the workplace, you have these seasons, these moments where you just continue to grind and grind and grind. Like, I had a Facebook memory pop up today basically showing the same picture of what I did yesterday 15 years ago. Like, you're just doing the same thing over and over and over, and there are moments and seasons where you can find yourself wondering, does any of it matter? You see, the human person is unique among all creatures in this world. We're the only ones who give a rip about meaning in life. Like, your dog doesn't sit around wondering, like, is there a greater purpose than panting and looking out the window? Like, is there anything more to this existence? We are meaning makers. That's what people say about humanity, that makes us unique amongst all the animal kingdom. We want our lives to count. We want them to matter. And the question becomes, like, where do we find meaning and purpose in this life? Like, if the material world is all that there is, if the temporal frame is all that exists, then how is one supposed to find meaning and purpose in life that goes beyond it? Our world would tell us that what we need to do is take matters into our own hands and we make our own way. We create our own sense of meaning. And yet what we're going to see this morning is I think that's a very untenable approach to life. It doesn't work. And so what do we do to find meaning and purpose in this life? How do we think about this uniquely human problem, meaning in life? If this is all there is, then how are we supposed to find it? That's going to be our focus this morning. My hope this morning is that we would just catch one simple idea. Meaning is discovered, it's not created. Meaning is discovered, it's not created. And I think what we'll see is that's actually good news for us. It's good news for you and me. And so what we want to do is we want to just travel through a couple of verses in Genesis chapter 1 to kind of wrap our minds around the idea that meaning is discovered, that there is meaning to be found in this life. There is purpose to be had. There is significance to be felt. And that happens as we discover it in the Lord. And so the first thing we need to do is kind of consider some competing stories on how we think about why we're here. Like, why am I here? What's my purpose? Why do I exist? The modern response is, why you're here is to create your own sense of meaning. There is nothing else beyond. It's only the temporal frame. It's the here and now. It's the stuff and things of life. It's the material existence, the physical embodied existence. That's all that there is. And since that's all that there is, the good news for you and me is we get to create our own sense of meaning. And yet what I think we discover along the way is that really falls flat. It doesn't work as well as one would hope. If the temporal frame is all that exists, then you and I are merely cosmic accidents. I mean, we might be happy accidents, but we are just cosmic accidents. There is no purpose, there is no intention, there is no designer. And yet none of us can really live that way, can we? We hear, and maybe even find ourselves all the time, like personifying nature, Mother Nature. We give these ideas that somehow creation, nature, has this intention, like it's a person. And yet, if this is all there is, that isn't the case. There is no purpose. There is no intention. You are a cosmic accident. And so, therefore, you need to make of this life what you can. And yet, this is a completely untenable way to live. I mean, because still, ultimately, there is no meaning and purpose in this life. If this is all that there is, what we see, what we touch, what we feel, what we explore through the five senses, if this is all there is, then ultimately there is no meaning. Many want to put their head in the sand and pretend that that's not the case. And yet there are some who at least bite the bullet, accepting what is real if this is all there is. Thomas Nagel, an atheist philosopher, puts it this way: even if you produce a great work of literature, which continues to be read thousands of years from now, eventually the solar system will cool, or the universe will wind down and collapse, and all trace of your effort will vanish. The problem is that although there are justifications for most things, big and small, that we do in this life, none of these explanations explain the point of your life as a whole. It wouldn't matter if you had never existed. And after you have gone out of existence, it won't matter that you did exist. This is the reality if this is all there is. And yet, we all want our lives to matter. None of us is satisfied with that idea. We all want to make something of the life that we have. And so the Christian faith provides for us a different kind of picture, a different story that actually brings good news. You see, meaning isn't created, it's discovered. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 again. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Let us make man in our image and likeness. You aren't a cosmic accident. You are the intention and the purposeful result of God's grand design. He's made you in his image to resemble him in some kind of way. You're no accident. In fact, he finishes this section in verse 31 by looking over all that he has created. And he says, behold, it was very good. See, God has purpose and intention for all that he does. And he's made you. God of the universe designed you, created you, placed you in this frame. You see, and by knowing that there's a designer who has an intentional design plan for humanity, leads us to the reality that we can discover what our purpose is. You see, things that aren't designed don't ultimately have purpose. Purpose entails an intentionality. And God intentionally creates humanity in his own image, and therefore he's made us for a purpose. When I was a college student, like most college students, I lived in a dorm. And I was tired of dorm food at one point. And so I got this bright idea that I could take my iron and I could convert it into like a hot plate. So I bought a little like pie tin and I tried to attach the pie tin. Because first I set it on the iron and it just didn't have enough contact. And so, brilliant idea. I needed to somehow kind of connect that pie tin to the iron, and that would give me enough heat. Well, that didn't work, and so I threw the pie tin away and decided, let's just go to town on the grilled cheese with the iron. And I did that, and basically the sandwich was stuck to my iron. I was not using the iron for what it was purposed for, and therefore, it was never used on a piece of clothing ever again because it was absolutely destroyed. Like, when we know what something's made for, what its purpose is, then we know what kind of meaning it's to have. God made us. He created us. And it says that we were made in his image and his likeness. The idea of being made in the image of God is a multifaceted notion, but at its heart, it conveys to us this idea that there are abilities and capacities within you to know God. Like, there is a way for you to relate to God that no other creature can. God made you uniquely in such a way that you would image him, that you would be able to relate to him, to know him, that you were, because of that, you have inherent dignity and worth. And because you're made in his image, you have been invested with great purpose and, yes, meaning. See, meaning isn't created, it's discovered. And thinking upon the story of our modern world and the story of the Christian faith, what we see is by virtue of being made by God and made in his image, we can know something of our purpose and our meaning in this world. Meaning is discovered, not created. And this meaning, it's found in relation to God. Because he made you, we know that there is a design plan, and because there is a design plan, there is a designer who designed you, there is meaning and purpose for your life. And that meaning and purpose that you have been designed for is to know and to relate to God. We're the only creatures who are made in God's image, which means that we have capacities within us that enable us to commune with the divine. Like, we can know the God of the universe. And our meaning is discovered in relationship with God. We're to know him and to live for him. See, what's the meaning? What's the purpose of this life? It's to know God and to live for him. That's what we see in this passage. That's the second part of that is seen in verse 28. Placing us in the garden, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. See, we've been placed in this world to know God and then to build something. In light of how he's wired us, in light of how he's designed us and the purpose that he has given to us, we're to live like him, cultivating things around us. We're to cultivate like God. God, all throughout Genesis chapter 1, is filling the earth, giving it texture, providing meaning, purpose. And we're to live like that. We're to be cultivators. We're to grow, to invest and cultivate in the way that he has designed us for. See, he's given us not just an identity to be made in his image, but he's given us a task. And in those two things, show us something of the meaning that he has for us. We're to know him, and we're to live for the good and the flourishing of others as we build something valuable in this world. And yet meaning was undone by the fall. In the midst of this story, we see everything go awry, everything go haywire because of the entrance of sin. Our modern world tells us that meaning is created as we take life into our own hands. And this is precisely what our first parents did. They were placed in the garden, and there's a tree of life. And then there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They could eat of any tree in the garden, but they weren't to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And yet, they took matters into their own hands. They took of that tree and sin entered into this world. And we've been doing that ever since, taking matters into our own hands, determining for ourselves what's right and wrong, creating for ourselves a sense of meaning. And this is why we struggle to find purpose in this life, because we take matters into our own hands. We try to craft meaning out of the raw materials of our life and our world. I mean, this is the essence of sin. The essence of sin is taking matters into our own hands, living on our own terms, with our own power, our own capabilities, our own know-how, our own sense of right and wrong, rather than living in that relationship with God where he is ordering our lives and structuring it in such a way that we're being shaped by who he is. We've taken matters into our own hands, and sin enters in and warps everything that it touches. And so we're estranged from God, and we're estranged from our sense of purpose. This is why we struggle to find meaning in this life. Because we're trying to do it on our own. Because we're trying to go the way of our modern secular counterparts. You need to take life by the hand, and you need to create a sense of meaning and purpose for the life you live. But meaning is discovered, not created. And so we need a meaning that is restored by Jesus. In John chapter 1, we see that the designer didn't just stand off aloof after he made his world, but he actually ends up entering into it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. These words are spoken of Jesus, who was there at the beginning, instilling in our lives, in our world, a sense, a reason and purpose for life. And now Jesus had entered into our world. He dwelt among us because we were entangled and ensnared by sin. He had to come and undo it. And by his life, his death, and his resurrection, he has made a way for us to have our lives renewed, renovated from the inside out. You see, what we discover in Jesus is that meaning is not a philosophical, abstract concept. It's a person, and his name's Jesus. And so we have been designed to find meaning and purpose in the Lord. And Jesus entered back into our world to show us the way, to provide for us a sense of meaning beyond the temporal frame. This is not all that there is. You've been designed and wired for a relationship with God, and that relationship with God doesn't end here, but continues on forever. You have been designed to live in light of who God is, and that doesn't end here, it continues forever. You are hardwired for meaning because you are made in God's image and given a purpose through him. And so the invitation is to give yourself over to Jesus, to trust him with your life. We all know what it looks like to live a life creating meaning on our own terms. We've all done it. That's the effect of sin that touches all of us. And the reality is, it leads to a dead end. It doesn't fulfill what it promises. It can't come through on those promises. It leads to a dead end that feels like a crushing weight. Because we all want meaning, and yet we wonder if it could ever be had. Well, Jesus gave his life that you and I could find our way back into his family, that we could know God and be known by him, that we could live with him forever, that our lives could be changed and transformed from the inside out if we would only trust Christ for meaning in this life. Meaning's discovered and not created, and that's good news. It's good news because Jesus came to rescue us. Jesus brought for us a sense of meaning and purpose. It's not something that we have to try to manufacture and create on our own, but he provides it. And all we have to do is trust him at his word. And so what difference does this make in our everyday life? What difference does it make that meaning's discovered and not created? Again, it means that we have capacities for relationship with God. And that in Jesus, as we walk in his way, he is going to renovate our hearts that we could know the Lord, that we could find rest in him, that we could find hope in him, in those moments of disillusionment, that we could turn to him and we could find help, that we could find purpose in our work, we could find purpose in our marriages, we could find purpose in our parenting, in our classwork, and in everything that we put our hand to, that we could find purpose in it through him. As we walk in step with the Spirit, he will change our hearts over time, that we look more and more like him. And this is precisely why we're hosting the Unhurried Life Seminar, because you and I both know we need help with that. We know what it's like to have a hurried inner life, distracted by the buzzes of our phone, the bings of notifications, distracted by all kinds of really important things, feeling like we are just constantly spinning our wheels, but man, it doesn't seem like I'm getting anywhere fast. We know what it's like to have that hurried inner life that's unsettled, that's not at rest, that doesn't feel whole, feels fragmented. I feel distracted. We know what that's like, and so we need help from King Jesus to learn how to walk in his way. And so that's what the Unhurried Life Seminar is all about. What might it look like over time to be renovated of heart in such a way that we could walk this unhurried life, finding a sense of rest in Jesus, that then flows out of us as a life-giving presence to others. You see, because the reality is we're not meant to do this thing on our own, just as Justin pointed out to us. We're intended to walk this life with others. This is why we're encouraging you to consider a community environment this year. A Bible study, the class on a Sunday morning, or a gospel community. To be engaged in this life with other people. That we could be the kind of life-giving presence that not only receives help from others, but is giving of ourselves to others. Like, I'm a part of a community environment. You're a part of a community environment, not just because of what you get from it, but because of how you can invest in others for their good and their benefit. By living this kind of life, we can walk in mission together with Jesus. We can help others find meaning and purpose in life that comes through Christ. But if I'm just out there trying to create meaning on my own, why would anybody want that? That's the work that we're all doing. Like, apart from Jesus, that's all we know. But instead, the Spirit of the living God is at work in us together as his people. We now can show a different kind of picture of what it could look like to live in this hurried world. And all of this is only possible because of what the Lord Jesus has done. And this is why we take part in the Lord's Supper week in and week out. Because meaning in this life is found by the life, death, and resurrection of King Jesus. Because he laid down his life for you and me, we can find life in him. Because he was raised from the dead, we can have a renovation of heart to grow to look more and more like him over time. Because he is now ascended at the right hand of God, we can have a vital relationship with God, that we can know what he desires for us. We could experience the life that's only found in him. And so if you know Jesus, then the invitation is to come forward, take a piece of that bread, drink that juice, remembering his broken body and his shed blood as the only means possible for us to ultimately find meaning and purpose in this life. Meaning is discovered. It's discovered in and through Jesus. It's not created. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have spoken to us by it, that you've not left us out here on our own, but you've shown us the very beginning of the story, how you made us. You made us with intention. You made us for purpose. And so by looking to your word, we can discover something of the meaning and purpose that we're to find in this life that only comes through you. And so we thank you for Jesus, that he laid down his life for us, that we might find healing in him, that our hearts might be mended, that fracture might be put back together, that we might have our hearts over time renovated, that we look more and more like Jesus. And so, Lord, help us to experience something of your meaning and purpose for our lives through this supper this morning. Might we experience your grace, mercy, and kindness in a fresh way. Might this be a moment where we're reminded where ultimate meaning's found. It's not found in the meaning that I'm trying to create at the workplace tomorrow, or in my marriage, or in my parenting, or through my classwork. It's found in and through Jesus. Help remind us of those realities now. We pray this in his name. Amen.